Christianity. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of a goofy question. But the more I got to thinking about that, I thought, okay, what evidence would a person find against me that would prove that I'm a Christian? That I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That I live a Christian testimony? Last night, I was telling Brother Mike, I had a dream, and usually I don't ever remember. How many of you ever remember your dreams? Do you remember your dreams? I never do. I never remember my dreams, but this one I did. I dreamt I was in heaven. And the first person that greeted me was Dr. Jack Hiles. And he says, man, we've been waiting for you. And I shook my hand, and right behind him was John R. Rice, R.A. Torrey, D.L. Moody, Spurgeon, all the old men of the faith were standing behind him. And they're all greeting me into heaven. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of people here. You know, but it was amazing because I was telling Brother Mike, I never saw any women there. Now, I don't know if that tells us anything or not, but I heard some of the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, you know, and I mean, it was just so peaceful and serene, and I saw these people going back and forth out of heaven, and I said to John R. Rice, he was standing there. I said, what are these people doing, going in and out of heaven? He says, well, he said, they're the messengers of God going to and fro to the earth. So they had to be angels bringing messages back to God. And but anyway, that was my dream last night. Aren't you glad I shared that with you? But you know, I want to take and look today at our lives, all of us in this room, our lives, and see if there's enough evidence in our life to convict us of being a Christian if we were on trial for our faith. You know, how is our relationship with God? You know, have you at some time in your life asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? Acts 16:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Has there been a time in your life when you understood that you were a sinner? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is there a time that you realize there is a penalty for your sin? For the wages of the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then did you believe that Jesus paid that penalty for your sin? But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you ask for forgiveness of those sins and Jesus to come into your life? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How would you answer a prosecutor to these questions? Would you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know where you would spend eternity if you were to die right now? Are you 100% sure that you would take and go to heaven? So we're all Christians. Now comes the good part. If you were a Christian and you know that beyond a shadow of doubt, and you say to yourself, well, you know what, my life is really, really good. My life, I live for the Lord. How well do you live your life for the Lord? You know, let's just take a look at the Big Ten for a while. Shall we? The Ten Commandments. I always call them the Big Ten. You know, if you take and you look at the Ten Commandments, God gave them to Israel in the time of Moses so that they would have something to go by as far as the law. But you know, that same law, believe it or not, the Ten Commandments, is also mentioned over and over again in the New Testament. Not only by the Lord, but also by Paul and Peter and John after Jesus rose from the dead. So that tells me that they are still in effect today. Amen? So, let's take a look for just a minute about the Big Ten. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You may say, well, hey, preacher, that's an easy one. I'll be convicted of that one right away because I don't worship any other god other than the God of creation. Well, is there anything in your life which you place before the Lord? What about your relationship to your family and your wife and your children? Do you place that before the Lord? I've known an awful lot of people over time who will take and raise their children up higher than God. And you know, it's amazing. Have you ever heard of the empty nest syndrome? Have you ever heard of that? Where all of a sudden the kids are out of the nest and mom and dad just don't know what to do with each other because they've never lived without the kids. Have you heard of that? We know it's real. It really is. Yeah. And what we need to realize is this, is that if a person puts God before your children, you have something to fall back on when they're gone. Amen? You know, you have something to fall back on when they're gone and not there. You know, if your children were in harm's way, and they said, you know what, if you don't denounce Christ, I'm going to kill your children, what would you do? Well, I'll tell you what, that's a tough one, isn't it? But it is for a lot of people. It is for a lot of people. They would say, I'd pick my children. I mean, you know, where are you as far as that goes? Are you using something else as your God? How about your job, your entertainment, your recreation? Is there something in your life which comes between you and God that you have set over the Lord? And there's an awful lot of people, this is the way it is. You know, I know people who will that have boats, they have all kinds of things that they go out on weekends. They have cottages up north. They have all kinds of things that they use as their God instead of God. People will place anything in front of God. Now, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You may say, well, hey, you know what, preacher? I'm not guilty of that. I have no idols in my house. None. I don't have a Buddha sitting there. I don't have things that I bow down to. There's nothing in my house that I would consider an idol. There's nothing in my house that I would consider an idol. Are you sure that there's nothing that you would consider an idol? You know, when we were in Wisconsin, my daughter and son-in-law, they have Jesus in every room. And I looked at him, I said, well, aren't those idols? No, they're not. Well, I think they are, but then again, they don't. But let me ask you something. How much time do you spend watching TV? You know, Well, you say, well, I only watch the religious shows and things like that. But how much time do you look or spend looking at something which has nothing whatsoever to do with God? How much time do you spend on your cell phone texting or playing games or on your tablets, on the computer? How much time do you spend doing that? Do you spend more time doing that than you do here? Do you spend more time surfing the net? Do you spend... Boy, it's quiet in here today. Do you spend more time... Yeah, there than in prayer. You know, those are all graven images. They are. They're things that you put in front of what you should be doing with the Lord. You know, we should always remember that we should spend as much time of our free time with God as we do elsewhere. Now, in that, how about this one? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How's your language? Do you every once in a while let something slip? Oh! You know, have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? How many of you have ever done that? And you go, oh, that felt so good. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I have a 16-ounce framing hammer. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's 24-ounce. And it's got those little notches in it, you know, them little... And I was nailing one day, and this nail was not going in. And I thought, you know what? If I hit that thing good and hard with this hammer, it's going to go in. And you know what was in the way? My thumb. Have you ever done that? Man, I hit that thing, and I'm going, oh! I can feel it all the way down to my feet. It hurts so bad. And I'm going, oh, praise the Lord, that hurts so much. You know, listen, hey, how's our language in a time of need like that? You know, what do we say? You know, would you be found innocent or guilty by the language that you use when you're angry? Would you be found guilty or innocent when you get angry with somebody else? You know what I mean? You know, do you tell as many off-color jokes and stories as everybody else does at work or in school? Would you be convicted of the words that you use, or are your words seasoned with salt? You know, if Jesus would walk up while you were talking to somebody, would he get into the conversation, or would he go like this and turn around and walk away? You know, how is your conversation? How is the words that you use? Do you use idle words? You know, people get really upset with me. They do. Because when I'm in my office and I'm studying, I zone everything out. And many of you have come into my office when I'm doing that, and you'll say something to me, and I won't even acknowledge you. Because I just zone people out. Because when I'm studying or doing message, I am focused 100% on that. 100%. My wife gets so mad at me, at home especially, because I'll be working on the computer and I'll be studying and writing a message or a Sunday school lesson or something else, and she'll be talking to me, and I'll go, what? Well, didn't you hear me? No, what? What's wrong with you, you deaf? Yeah. She knows that, but But, you know, here I am, you know, I'm working, and you get so engrossed in what you're doing that you just kind of forget everybody else. But listen, how is your language, and how is it, you know, with everybody else? You know, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now you're saying, hold it, preacher, that's under the law. Yes, it is. It is under the law. Did you know that that is the only commandment, the only one that was not repeated in the New Testament? It's the only one. Keeping the Sabbath day. However, God wanted us to remember the first day of the week as the Lord's day, and we're to keep it holy. You know, are you in church when you need to be there? Are you in church as much as you can be? Are you in church as much as you should be? Are you in church just to be in church? Or are you in church to take and worship the Lord? You know, maybe you feel that you can take and worship anywhere. And I have heard this from people over and over and over again. In the 20 years that I've been pastor, well, not quite 20, awful close. I've heard, well, I worship in the woods. I worship on the lake. I worship wherever. And I think to myself, okay, you're not really worshiping. You're doing what you want with the intent that you should be worshiping. But you're really not worshiping. After all, the Bible says this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as ye see the day approaching. What is the day that's approaching? The rapture of the church. One day, there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trump sound, and we're going to be gone. Just like that. Do we see that day approaching? Do you know that we're closer to the rapture today than what we were yesterday? We're closer today than what they were 100 years ago? Listen, as the day is approaching, we should be worshiping more. You know, God wants us to worship Him more now than at any other time in history. Why? Because I do not feel that it's going to be long and this old world is going to be gone. You know, I believe that one day, very soon, God's going to look down and He's going to say, you know what? I have had it. This is it. This is the end. I'm not going to put up with man's sin anymore. I'm not going to put up with his unrighteousness anymore. I'm not going to put up with his forgetting me and worshiping other things. I believe that the day is approaching very, very quickly. Well, there's many that will say, well, you know what, preacher? You don't understand. You have no concept whatsoever that I put in 40 hours a week at my job. I work Monday through Friday. I have 2 days off in the weekend, and my wife has a honey-do list that's as long as I am tall. If you don't have one, come over to my house, because I do. But you know what? People also say then, I do that on Saturday. That leaves me Sunday for myself. Self-centered people. Listen, there are so many today living in this area who do not give God 1 hour a week. They will not go to church 1 hour a week. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's tough, isn't it? Isn't that tough to think about? You know, for what God did for us, we cannot take 1 hour, 52 hours a year out to come and worship Him. You know, how's your worship? How is your time spent in church? You know, would someone come in and say, well, you know what? You're only here on Easter and Christmas. You're not guilty. You're not guilty of being a Christian. After all, you don't spend any time with Him, assembling yourself together with Him. What about honoring thy father and thy mother? You know, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Are we honoring our father and mothers? Are we doing the things that God wants us to do? Are we listening to the instruction that are given to us by those who are older than we are? Do we give honor to those with gray hair, like Chuck? Do you listen and obey parents? Jacob and Esau, believe it or not, both loved and obeyed their parents. After all, when Jacob told Esau to go get him venison, what did he do? He left, he went out and found a deer, didn't he? And brought it back in. He's a little late, but he brought it back in. Jacob obeyed his mom. She told him to take and dress up like his brother and go in and deceive your dad, and he did. Listen, they obeyed their parents. Even though they obeyed their parents, the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why? Because Esau later did not do what his parents told him to do. He married heathen women. He went running around with everybody. Finally, Jacob gave him his inheritance and sent him away. How about, thou shalt not kill? Oh, hey, everybody in here is on that one, aren't you? Huh? Aren't you on that one? You're with me on that. Thou shalt not kill. I don't think there's anybody in this room who's ever committed murder. At least, I haven't. I've never committed murder. And everybody's going, you know what? I'm going to be convicted of this one. I know that this one here, they're going to be able to convict me of without any problem whatsoever. Well, have you ever had hate in your heart towards someone else? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, it says this. It says, ye have heard that it is said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Listen, well, we need to realize that if we're angry with our brother, it's as much as murder. You know, in 1 John 3:15 it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Have you ever hated someone? Have you ever hated somebody to where you go, oh man, I don't like them. You know what I mean? I think there's times when we do. But listen, if you do, it's just like being a murderer. It's just like you being a murderer. How about thou shalt not commit adultery? You're going, well, that ain't me. I'm innocent of that one. But have you ever looked on, let's take and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 real quick. Matthew chapter 19. Now this is Jesus, and he's talking to the rich young ruler. Starting in verse 18 it says, he said unto him, which? Young ruler says, well, which commandment do I have to keep in order to be one of your disciples? He says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now these are commandments that were given in the Old Testament that Jesus is repeating in the New Testament that we need to live by. One of them was, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, have you ever looked upon someone and you said, wow. Have you ever seen a picture in a magazine or whatever and you're going, Well, it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoa! Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Listen, what we need to realize is this, is that God says it doesn't make any difference if you do the actual act, if you think about it. Just think about it. You've committed adultery already. Wow. With that right there, it'll get us to say, next time we see something, we go, uh-oh, I ain't looking at that. You know, many of you, we had an evangelist come around through here one time, and he had three little kids. And they traveled all over the United States as a family. They had a fifth wheel, and they drove all over preaching different churches. And he said, what we do is when we're going along and I see a billboard that's not real good, I'll go, duck! And he says, all the heads just go right down underneath the seat. He says, after I go by, I go, okay, and they'll pop back up again. Well, when I say duck, they put their heads down because they know there's something out there they're not supposed to see. That's good. I like that. You know, so I tried it. I almost hit five cars the other day going into Phoenix. All of a sudden, I'm driving along, all of a sudden, I'm going, duck! Whoa! We need to realize is that we aren't to look at those things. We aren't. We're not to look at those things. You know, what about thou shalt not steal? You know, have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever borrowed something from someone that you never brought back? You know, I was talking to a guy one day and we were talking about this, and he said, well, I've never stole anything in my entire life. I said, where do you work? He says, I work for the Pinal County Sheriff's Department. I smiled. I said, is that your pen in your pocket? He goes, yeah. I said, can I see it? He said, sure. He handed it to me. And on there it said, property of the Pinal County Sheriff's Department. I said, are you sure this? Yeah, he says, it's my pen. I said, well, it says right here, property of the Pinal County Sheriff's. I said, are you sure you've never stole anything? he looked at me and he says, does it mean that too? I said, it means everything. Everything. Have you ever left work and you had a, legal pad? And you get home and you go, oh man, I didn't know that was in my briefcase. Well, I'll just use it anyway. You know, it's stealing. You know, we sometimes don't think of the little things that we take in life, and yet it's still stealing. It's still walking off with someone else's property that does not belong to you. How about, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? Well, what's bearing false witness? Have you ever talked behind someone's back? Said something about somebody who wasn't there when you're talking about them? Have you ever said something about someone which might not be 100% completely true, but yet you fabricated a little bit to make it sound better? That's bearing false witness. I think sometime in our life, all of us are guilty of that. How about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife? Thou shalt not, or his manservants, nor his maidservants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Have you ever wanted something that someone else had that lived by you? I have. My dirty, rotten neighbor that I used to live with in Wisconsin, he had one of the nicest pickup trucks, and I wanted it. It was a Silverado. I'll never forget that truck. Four-wheel drive, full bed in the back, had extended cab in it, beautiful truck. And you know what? Every morning when it was 10 and 15 below zero, I could see him standing in the picture window, hitting this button, and his truck started up. Oh, that used to make me so mad, because when he came out to get in his truck, it was nice and warm, and mine was freezing. It took me 25 miles to warm my truck up. You know, we're not supposed to covet our neighbor's stuff. But I'll tell you what, it happens, doesn't it? It happens to all of us. We see something that somebody else has and we go, boy, I sure like to have that. I don't know why they... God, why can't you give me that? Right? Amen? Have you been keeping track so far? Have you... Now, we just covered the Ten Commandments and I'm out of time. But we could go into our prayer life. We could go into our Bible reading. We could go into how much time we spend door knocking, how much time we spend working in the church, how much time of our finances we give to the Lord, what kind of testimony we have in our community. You know, if we are asked about these also, would we measure up to a conviction, or would we have a dismissal on if you were a Christian or not? As I was going through this message, I had to look at myself. I had to look at myself and say, do you, preacher, measure up enough that you would be convicted of being a Christian? And I came up with the answer, yes. I'd be convicted. What about you today? Is there enough evidence in your life to convict you as a Christian, or are you holding back on God, hoping your life's work will be enough for the Lord? Are we doing all that we can to honor, bring honor and glory to the Lord? Or are we keeping our lives a little in the world? hoping that he won't see it. Would you hear someday the gavel come down and say, you're guilty of being a Christian? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow. I'll tell you what, I long for that day. I long for that day. But where are you today? Where are you today? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this message. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, I just pray that you might help each and every one of us, that we would live our lives honoring and glorifying to you in all that we do and say. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for giving your Son to die on the cross. Father, I just pray now for each and every person here today that they might know for sure that, number one, that they're going to heaven. Number two, that they're living their life in accordance with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've not been living my life the way I should for the honor and glory of God. There are some things in my life that need to be changed, and I'm just not willing to change them right now. But would you pray for me that I might see these changes be made? If that's you, I just want you to pray, raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. Yes, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Father, I want to thank you so much for loving us. I pray for these that have raised their hands, Lord, that there are some areas in their lives that they need to maybe get cleaned up a little bit. Father, I pray that you give them the courage, give them the strength and guidance, Lord. Father, all of us, I think, in here might have something that we could take and do better for you. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to do those things that you'll find pleasing with our lives. We love you. We just thank you for all that you've done for us. We just pray now that you'll continue to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn to him.